This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're now entering Place to Be Nation Sports Lounge. And now, here are your hosts, Roger Morissette, Chad Campbell, Andrew Flanagan, Jeff Machado, and Keith Schmidt.
Talking swamp sweating. That's for the bathtub full of sweat.
Hello, sports fans. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sports Lounge. Lounge is rocking tonight, baby. We're right in the middle of the NFL preseason. People are enjoying getting ready for football. The music's loud, the smoke's thick, the couch is extra comfy tonight. Joining me in the lounge tonight, we have a small crew, but a solid crew, the type of crew that shows up every week, no matter what, and doesn't flake out on the lounge, which is what we're after. So, joining me, we have Andy Flanagan. He hasn't been able to make it a couple of times. Excused absences. It's great to have you back, Andy. How's it going?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to be back.
Excellent. Then we have everybody's favorite Cowboy Senior. Cowboy Senior, how are you?
Good. Football's in the air, baby.
And the one, the only, Keith Schmidt. I don't have anything to say about Keith.
Nothing to say about me. But it's just good to be here. Let's talk some football.
All right. So as you tuned in last time, we covered the AFC North heated discussion. Cowboy Senior with the lowest projection I've seen anywhere on the Pittsburgh Steelers, anywhere. So he's not afraid to take a stand, and that's what we like. That's why we like to have him here. So we're going to do double trouble tonight, given that football's in the air and that football is America's sport. Jeff Machado will hate this, but I was watching Real Time with Bill Maher last week, and he does these fake headline things because he's going to be out of town for a month. And he says, here are the headlines you'll see during the month that we're out of town. And the first one he put up was, NFL season starts. Americans all realize how much soccer sucks.
So, there you go.
So sorry, Jeff.
How about that, Jeff?
Sorry, Jeff, but football's in the air. And Jeff, if you ever make it back to the lounge, you can defend yourself there.
It sounded really ominous.
There's nothing you can say, son.
So we're going to cover two divisions tonight. The one everybody's been waiting for, particularly to get Cowboy Senior's taste, because we're from New England a lot. You know, we're all from New England, and some of us might have that internal bias toward the Patriots because we're big Patriots fans, and that's why we need Cowboy Senior. Just right down the middle, no bias either way. He's going to call it like he sees it. I can't wait. So we're going to cover the AFC East first. And we're going to take a break after that, and then we're going to cover the NFC West, which a lot of people think is the best division in football. So we're going to – maybe the worst division in football, immediately followed by the best division.
Stop it.
So without further ado, let's go. Let's go, loungers. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
I'm good.
Can I chime in with one quick comment before we start this?
Absolutely, Cowboy Senior.
You mentioned my trashing of the Steelers last week, and one thing I did was trash their character in their locker room, and they didn't let us down this week, did they? Good old Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette, that's why they call me Blunt. Right on cue, baby. That locker room's going to fall apart right before everyone's eyes. They may be worse than the 5-11 I picked them to be.
So, a quick funny story. Cowboy Senior and I, he's my father, so I see him off podcast every so often. We were talking about that, and I made the comment, I'm surprised Pouncey wasn't there. Cowboy Senior said, it's a good thing he wasn't, because he would have shot the cop. So,
there you go.
That's the type of analysis you get off podcast. That's just give you a little peek into the psyche of Cowboy Senior. All right.
Fantastic.
So as is customary here on the Sports Lounge, we're gonna start with the AFC East, and we're gonna go in order of finish last year. So everybody's favorite team, the New England Patriots, finished a very respectable 12-4, made it to the AFC title game, where they took a shellacking from the Broncos. Cowboy Senior attributes that to Aqib Talib being a wuss.
I second that.
All right, Keith Schmidt seconds that. So we're going to throw a curveball tonight. So Patriots, we're going to start the analysis with the one guy in the room, one guy in the lounge who's not a big Patriots guy, and that's Andy. So Andy, just what are your thoughts on the Pats, what they did in the offseason, where you think they're headed?
Just remember, I know where you live.
Well, as someone who doesn't like the Patriots, it's frustrating because they did have a very good offseason. They picked up Darrell Revis, who I always liked, and now I'm going to have to, you know, wish bad things upon him, so that's a bummer. I just, you know, they're good every year. There's not a lot of, you know, I don't get a lot of credit for saying they're going to be good again, but it worries me. I think they're clearly one of the better teams in the AFC, and that's not fun for me.
See, nice, fair, and balanced analysis, Andy. And we appreciate that. Cowboy Senior, what do you think about what the Pats did in the offseason, how they've looked in the preseason? Give it to us straight.
Well, I think things are really looking up. I'm really excited about the Patriots this year. Obviously, a great offseason. You couldn't have acquired a better player than Revis to fit their team right now. I mean, he just shores up that secondary immediately. We're already seeing it in the preseason. The coverage is great. This defense was good last year, even though if you kind of look at the numbers, it doesn't appear that it was that great of a defense. Oh, I have it here somewhere. Yeah, the defense was 22nd overall. This is based on yardage, how they rank teams. 25th against the rush, 18th against the pass. However, when you're evaluating a Bill Belichick defense, you got to look beyond those numbers all the time because they play that bend, don't break style. That's what he's always played. Points allowed, they were 10th in the NFL, which is pretty damn good. That's just the way they play. And I think this defense is a good defense that's going to get better. You point out a guy like Chandler Jones, who started coming into his own last year. I think sky's the limit for him. Already in the preseason, he's living in the backfield. He's destroying quarterbacks. I think that's going to continue. You got the guy on the other side of that defensive line that generally goes very unnoticed, doesn't get enough credit, Rob Ninkovich. All the guy does is make plays, one after another. Another big improvement to this defense, the big fella in the middle is healthy. Big Vince, look out. And then we've got an up-and-coming young talent who in the playoffs last year started to show us what he can do, Jamie Collins. He's going to help a lot at that outside linebacker position. One thing he can do well is our Achilles heel. Well, I shouldn't be first person. The Pats' Achilles heel defensively was really tight ends did a job on him. And I think Jamie helps out a real lot in coverage in that respect. So this defense is going to be good. The offense isn't what you think. When you looked at the Patriots a few years back, they were kind of one-dimensional. It was kind of all in the air. Last year, this was a very well-balanced offense. They were 7th in the league overall, 10th in rushing, 8th in passing. They do have a balanced offense. They do have a very good running game. Basically, Nate Solder's getting better, and the other guy on the left side of that offensive line, Logan Mankins, is as good as it gets. If you watch a lot of the Patriots, that running game is just run left, run left, run left. Steven Ridley, if he can hold on to the ball, I think he could be in for a huge year. Shane Vereen's probably as good a pass receiving, change of pace back as there is. The rookie fourth-round pick from Wisconsin, James White, is really opening some eyes in camp. And if Ridley doesn't hold the ball, we know what Bill does to him. We've got him to fall back on. So I'm expecting nothing but the Patriots to do but get better this year. The rest of the receiving core, okay, you say we need somebody at wide receiver to step up. Little Julian Edelman had a great year last year. I see more of the same. If Danny Amendola can stay healthy, he could be big. The acquisition of Brandon LaFell, a very low-key acquisition. Tom Brady really likes him. So far, so good with him. And I think Aaron Dobson's going to step up even more this year. So this is a complete football team that's definitely a Super Bowl contender. And that is, you could be the most unbiased person in the world, and I think you have to admit that.
Thanks, Cowboy Senior. So I'm going to end the little circle jerk we have on here. But that fair and balanced analysis, Cowboy Senior, except you didn't say, you know, there was not even anything close to a negative. But that's okay. It's the Pats. We. I myself am a Patriots fan. I'm a little more critical of the Pats than some other people around here. So, to me, if they didn't sign Revis, the offseason would have been an unmitigated disaster. And I've said this before, and the thing I just don't get, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, but how many years do you think Tom has left? He's 38, right? So realistically, three more good years, right?
Three more good years.
So you have a guy, three more good years, and I know the Patriot way is to acquire assets, never overpay for anybody. But you look at Tom, the one year that they did decide to pay for some people, right? Like guys like Randy Moss, and when you put weapons around Brady that are on par with some of the other great teams in the league, I mean, he broke every record in the book. And I mean, I don't think he's quite the quarterback now that he was then, but I think this is a team offensively that's built for the regular season, and that defense better be good, because they don't, it's particularly at receiver. You have a guy like Edelman, and Edelman had a great season. I'm not taking anything away from the guy, but what other team in the league could a guy make how many 105 or whatever catches he had? And he wanted to make some money in free agency. He was unrestricted free agent, and no one would pay him. And so the Patriots brought him back on a cheap deal. What other guy for what other team for 100 and something receptions wouldn't be able to go anywhere else, right? Because no one will pay him. And he's the one. Amendola is not going to stay healthy. And if he does, I think he's miscast on the outside. I think he's a slot guy too. And I don't think they're not playing him there. Dobson, he's a project, but he's the one guy on the team that has the physical tools to actually be a legit one. I don't see it happening this year. And I just don't get why you wouldn't. I know that receivers in free agency, they make too much money, right? I mean, guys get overpaid. But even a guy like last year who was definitely overpaid was Mike Wallace. They overpaid him.
Way overpaid.
But do you know how good he would be for the Patriots? You know, I mean, how much better he is than anyone they have?
Not for that money.
But, I mean, you're saving all this money for the future, and the future's Jimmy Garoppolo, right? 4 years. They haven't won a Super Bowl in 10 years. They got their asses handed to them in the playoffs last year. Peyton, I mean, Tom Brady must look at the weapons that Denver has surrounded Manning with, and I mean, just be completely envious. And I don't think, go ahead, Keith.
Well, what they did was they looked at that game and they said, okay, you beat us here and you beat us there. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring in Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner. And you can take your Demaryius Thomas and your Eric Decker, which they no longer have. Now it's Emmanuel Sanders. But and okay, bring it. Let's go. And we'll match you offensively.
Why?
With Kembrell Tompkins. You failed to mention. Look, will he make a Pro Bowl? No.
Will he
make plays? Yes. Will Gronkowski?
There you go.
Hello.
There's a good player.
Hello. Good. If he's healthy for 12 games out of the 16 game schedule, they will win most of those 12 games. Okay? You got Gronk there. Dobson. Learning at a rapid pace. I mean, he's been hurt all preseason long, but he was doing okay last year, right? He was grasping the offense. I mean, you can't ask a rookie to come in and be Calvin Johnson.
Right, but
you can't. I mean, there's only a few guys in the league that actually come in, rookie wide receiver, and just dominate. Dobson did well last year. So did Tompkins when they were on the field. Right? And now they made their share of mistakes, but they did all right. Now, Amendola, I agree with you. I don't think he's any more than a number three wide receiver who hopefully, if he stays healthy, can contribute sometimes. But Edelman, I think he is I'm not even going to say poor man's Welker. He is Wes Welker. a little taller, maybe not as quick, maybe not as shifty, does the same thing. Look at his numbers from last year. Look at Welker's numbers when he was in New England.
Right.
Same numbers. Same numbers.
So here's the thing.
I mean, that's offensively.
Here's the thing, right? So he may be Wes Welker. And what is Wes Welker? He's the fourth option on the Broncos, right? Edelman is clear. Like, Gronkowski staying healthy is the key to the whole team.
Correct.
If he goes down, they're screwed. And I mean, why would you build a team around that if one guy goes down, you're just done? I mean, they got nothing behind him. I mean, they could have gone and gotten a guy like Owen Daniels or something on the cheap.
But they got Brandon LaFell, right?
He doesn't play tight end.
He doesn't play tight end, but you know what? I think he's going to do better in the Patriot offense than he did in Carolina.
Most guys do.
I think he will. Exactly.
The problem is, Keith, you got five receivers that I think how many of the Patriots receivers would make the Broncos team? Kembrell Tompkins would not make their roster. Aaron Dobson would probably not make their roster. And we're counting on these guys.
You know what?
Here's a couple of rebuttals to what you're saying.
Here we go.
Number one, if we're gonna base everything on to be successful, you have to win the Super Bowl. All these glorifying things you were saying about Denver. All it got them was their asses handed to them in the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
Big time. That's number one. Number two, we're going to knock the way the Patriots do things, blah, blah, blah. Okay. With Moss and all that, they never won a Super Bowl. They won three Super Bowls with Tom Brady without any name receivers, with guys like a guy like Troy Brown.
Deion Branch.
Who the hell was Troy Brown?
David Givens.
That was when they had a solid defense, which they have now. Now they have a running game, something they really didn't even have then. They're a balanced team. I think you can win without a star receiving core. Obviously, it would be a huge help if Gronk's healthy for the playoffs.
Correct.
I mean, if Gronk's healthy for the playoffs, they're going to be really hard to beat. But I think even without him, they can win. And, you know, and also saying they haven't won a Super Bowl in 10 years is a tough criticism. They've been in two and lost. I mean, that's a pretty good year when you get to the Super Bowl. And those were really close games where you can't say that the team failed putting that team together. I mean, they barely lost both of those games. They didn't get their butts handed to them like Denver did last year. And they made some title games. I mean, we set the bar really high with the Patriots. I understand that. But I can't knock the way they're doing things. It's pretty successful. And there's no way you can sit here and look at me and say you would be shocked if they win the Super Bowl this year.
No, I didn't say that.
They're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. What more can anybody else say?
I mean, what I can say is that you have one of the top three or four best quarterbacks in football who's old. And you refuse to pay for any weapons for him. And then you can't rebut that. I mean, the letting Welker go last year made zero sense. None. He didn't even get paid very much. Why? I mean, it's the Patriot way. And I agree that as currently constructed, that they could certainly go to the Super Bowl. They could. But I always get the feeling, like watching that Denver game last year, and I mean, I know that Denver lost in the Super Bowl, but to get to the Super Bowl, the Patriots have to beat, I mean, there's a 90% chance they're going to have to beat Denver. And watching that game last year, you had one offense that was the varsity around the great quarterback and one that was the JV. And why would you saddle Brady with the JV?
If you're philosophy.
And Denver also went out and got some marquee free agents on defense, too, just like the Patriots. They improved their defense as much as the Patriots did, if not more. I mean, DeMarcus Ware is an equivalent on the defensive line to what Revis is at cornerback.
No.
You give me
no.
either. You give
no,
me either
no,
guy.
No.
I'll take the
no.
shutdown corner any day.
Sure. Well, they took the shutdown corner from us. That's why we got
he's
Revis.
Not even in the same room.
No.
And he's going to roll over and die when the big time comes. We know it. We know his MO.
It's just that I want to.
And also, if your philosophy is, and if your thought is, the Patriots have to go through Denver to get to the Super Bowl. We have to go through, so we got to construct a team to beat Denver. Should you do it by trying to outscore them? No, you do it. You get the guys that you can control their offense. Seattle showed you that it can be done.
Absolutely.
I would say do both. Okay. Go and get a weapon.
Don't worry, the Pats can score some points.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They will be.
Like for example, during the draft. We had Andy and I did a draft preview, and I begged him. I wanted him to take Benjamin. If he's there, you have to take Benjamin. Nope. Sorry, Tom. We're not going to give you another weapon. You know, keep throwing to the little guys. As currently constructed, they're clearly the best team in the AFC East, and you can make the argument they're the best team in the AFC. And I think style wise, they match up better to those NFC teams than Denver does. I mean, Denver is constructed a lot like the Colts used to be, where if you beat the hell out of them, they don't like that.
They don't like that.
And maybe the Patriots would have lost to Seattle 20-13 instead of whatever the ridiculous score was.
Maybe this year's team could beat them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a year by year thing. But as a fan, I feel like you're spending all this money, and the offense hinges solely on one person. If Gronkowski goes down, how much does that hurt their Super Bowl chances?
A lot. But Demaryius Thomas goes down, what chance does Denver have? Right.
I mean, has Demaryius Thomas, does he keep getting hurt?
No.
Right. Okay. There's history there.
That's a good point.
But I mean, come on now. Wes Welker does. He's had
might be toast right now. Too many concussions.
Three concussions in the last nine games.
I mean, the Patriots could afford to lose their number three receiver, too. You know, it's...
when Welker was here, he was number one.
Right.
It's all legit criticism. But
no, I get you. I get you.
But I still like the team a lot.
Yeah.
The offense can only take you so far. You need a defense. Need a defense to win a championship. Right.
They could have had both.
Bottom line.
And the way that
one guy,
the way the offense is constructed makes the defense better, because they're going to control the ball. They're going to run the ball a lot.
I mean,
they're going to do that run left a lot. They're going to keep that defense off the field. That defense is really good, and I'm telling you, the defensive numbers are going to be real good this year.
And I mean, the power back thing. That's the other thing. I mean, Mike Reese came out today and said they were going to cut Ridley.
Well, that's not going to happen.
No chance. Mike Reese,
I think Ridley's their most talented, talented back. He fumbles, and it is what it is. Andy, why don't you take us home? I mean, you haven't got to talk a lot here. You've heard the point counterpoint. I'm not trying to be negative on the Patriots. Just that I feel that we give them a pass sometimes when. You know, when Tom Brady's career is over and you could have won five or six if you just paid for that receiver, I don't know. What do you think, Andy?
I don't know. You're putting me in a tough spot because now I want to argue with you and just point out that when they went out and got Moss and Welker, it's not like they broke the bank to get those guys. They were undervalued assets at the time.
Correct.
So I don't know.
Second round, fourth round. Thank you.
I think picking up what they got in the offseason was a good move. My main concern there is that, if Brady gets hurt, everything goes to shit. But that's true for every team. And I think we're all kind of just assuming Will Fork's back, but I don't know if that's actually true yet. And I'll be curious how that turns out.
Oh, I think Will Fork is back. Is he going to be at his prime level? Where he was 3 years ago? No.
We really don't know. I mean, you have no idea.
No, absolutely not. I mean, he's getting older now. He's getting older now. But if he's in there on run-stopping downs, that's all you need. Right? You got Chandler Jones on the outside. You got Jason Collins covering the middle with Mayo coming back. Dante Hightower in the middle. Right? I mean, this defense is going to be better. The thing I've seen so far in this preseason, and it relates back to last year, is covering the middle of the field, which is driving me bananas. Safeties, driving me crazy. Tight ends coming down the seam untouched. Running backs coming out of the backfield.
I mean, Revis helps a lot with that.
Right,
because
right.
McCourty's, he's not a great cornerback, but he's a great safety. He can cover a tight end.
Can he, though? Because I haven't seen it yet.
Well, if he doesn't have to help out on the
true. I mean, we'll see what happens there. But I mean, that's the only thing that bothers me is the middle of the field.
Chung, I don't like seeing Chung.
No, I hope they cut him. I want them to cut him. Done. Give Daron Harmon the job. Forget it.
I want to go back to the whole thing about weapons and everything. Question: we had three Super Bowl champions in New England. Haven't won one in 10 years, but the Patriots have been good. But really, what's the biggest difference between the teams that won the Super Bowl and the teams of the last 10 years? Is it the weapons around Tom Brady?
Nope.
Or is it the fact that those teams that didn't win went into the playoffs with no defense?
Defense.
The teams that won Super Bowls had a really good defense. So
all three.
Maybe the fact that they shored up the defense is more important than shoring up the weapons. Sure. They go by their past history, it sure makes sense.
So to rebut that, the Super Bowls were a long time ago, and the NFL's a lot different now.
Who won the Super Bowl the last 2 years? Were they passing, high-flying teams, or were they defensive teams?
Thank you, Roger.
A little bit of both, but that's all right.
No,
I mean, say what you want. I mean, Flacco did his best at Joe Montana impression
but 2 years
ago. How many points did the Patriots score against the Ravens? Was it 13, I think, in the playoff loss? 13? Is that going to beat anybody ever in the playoffs?
No, that's what I said.
How many did they score against Denver?
Defense.
Was it 21?
I mean, Seattle's team last year was not this high-flying offense at all. We're going to go through them later
today.
Great defense. They're a defensive team that pounds the ball.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
The game, you can say the game has changed, but not that
defense
much.
Defense wins.
But my point is they could do both. There's no reason, I mean, to have literally the worst receiving core in the NFL. Brady. I agree. It's great that they help the defense, but you could go out and get somebody, right? I mean, it's somebody.
At the end of the season, we'll see if they look like the worst receiving core in the NFL.
Oh, he makes them better, of course, but on paper, they're... Anyway, okay. I mean, we could sit here and argue about this all day. The proof is in the fact that their number one receiver at 105 catches last year couldn't get $6 million a year from... any of the other 31 teams, right?
I like the little guy. I don't appreciate him.
I'm glad nobody's
the best punt returner in the NFL.
Wes Welker. How many 100 catch seasons did he have? What did it translate to from the other teams? Shit.
10 concussions.
Slot anyway, receivers don't get as much money as wideouts. Sure. We know that.
True. All right. So moving on. I hope the Pats have a great year again. As a fan, I feel like they're doing a disservice to Tom by making him throw to these stiffs. But
all Tom cares about is getting another ring.
Right. And Tom takes less money so that they cannot pay receivers for him. Next up, finishing second last year, we have the Miami Dolphins at 8-8. The rest of this division to me is very, very, very blah. The Dolphins fit right in with that blah. Offensively, I'm not really sold on Tannehill. They do have some good weapons around him with Mike Wallace and Brian Hartline, decent two-headed running back, Lamar Miller and Noshon Moreno. The offensive line's obviously an issue with all the garbage that happened there last year.
They did sign Brandon Albert, though, so
yeah.
Left tackle.
Absolutely. I mean, they can't be worse than what they had. There with Incognito and Jonathan Martin.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Last year. I think 8-8 is ceiling for this team. I don't think they're much better than that. I think they might have overachieved to go 8-8 and taken advantage of a poor division. Keith, what do you feel about the Dolphins?
I pretty much agree with what you just said. I think it all depends on how much more Ryan Tannehill can progress from last year. I mean, this is what, his third year in the league?
Yes.
So, you know, it's time to start putting on the big boy pants. There's no more excuses, young quarterback. He's got Mike Wallace, like you said, who's a pretty good deep threat in the league, right? And you got Brian Hotline, a decent number two receiver, right? His running game is pretty good. I mean, Noshon Moreno was... Peyton Manning's right-hand man last year. So, you know, not that I think that Noshon Moreno is going to come anywhere near the production he had in Denver this year in Miami, but he's still a decent back, catch the ball out of the backfield, good pass, you know, blitz pickup.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff. I mean,
he's a good third down back.
Right. Yeah. Charles Clay, who missed most of last year, right? If I'm not mistaken, the tight end, Charles Clay.
Yeah, he did miss some time.
He's coming back this year, and he was actually a big miss for Miami last year, offensively. But their line is okay. It's decent, but Look, in my opinion, this is the New England Patriot division, and the other three teams are fighting for second place. The Dolphins have the upper hand with the experience, but I personally think the Jets and the Bills will finish above the Dolphins this season.
All right. Predictions are going to be fun later. Cowboy Senior, Miami.
Yeah, when you look beyond the numbers at Miami, it's a mystery how this team could have gone 8-8 last year. Their offense was 25th overall, 25th rushing, 18th passing. The defense was 20th overall, 21st against the rush, 16th against the pass. The big, big weakness in their offense, you talked about the offensive line. They allowed 58 sacks last year, the most in the NFL. This is going to be a theme with the other three teams in this division after the Patriots. They all allow way too many sacks. Cowboy touched on the incognito situation and all the mess. And the fact that they allowed 58 sacks, how did the Dolphins choose to address this? At least they didn't ignore it. But their philosophy is they've just blown it all up and come in with a whole brand new offensive line. Okay, they did some good things. Brandon Albert, the two tackles, you got to like them. Brandon Albert, they spent a lot of money for. Left tackle out of Kansas City, good signing. They drafted Juwan James out of Tennessee in the first round. He's going to start at right tackle. Okay, so those two guys are going to anchor the line. Now come the problems. Their center, Mike Pouncey, is out till midseason with a hip injury. At left guard, they have a guy named Darren College starting. He was released by the Arizona Cardinals. The right guard is second-year man Dallas Thomas, who never started a game in the NFL. It looks like Sam Brenner is going to be starting at center. They drafted him last year out of Utah in the second round. You draft a guy in the second round, you figure he's going to play. Maybe he's not at center, you know, maybe at a different position on the offensive line. All the troubles they had last year, he didn't even play. So this offensive line, number one, doesn't seem to be extremely talented except for the two tackles and Pouncey, who's out. Number two, out of all the different elements of a football team, the thing they say needs the most cohesiveness is an offensive line. These guys have to know how to work together. None of these guys have ever played together. So they're going to have a major problem there. Also, part of them allowing 58 sacks, you might want to put some of it on Tannehill, that he's got to get the ball out quicker. And it's going to be even more of a problem this year. Now I look at their defense, and I gave you their poor ratings. However, like the Patriots, you got to look a little deeper, because even though they had those bad yardage ratings, they were ninth in the league in points against somehow, which is really good. So they bent and they didn't break. They've got a really good pass rusher in Cameron Wake. He had 8.5 sacks last year. He lives in the backfield. He's one of the best. One of the keys to them, the secondary isn't super strong, and they signed Cortland Finnegan. They really need him to step up, and he's coming off a major leg injury. He didn't play the last 9 games last year. All in all, I take agreement with Keith that this could be the worst team in the division. On paper, talent-wise, they are the worst team in the division. Somehow Miami, I don't know why, but the Dolphins seem to find a way to win close games. That 8-8 record is like a mystery to us all last year, and if they somehow figure out a way to be reasonable this year, I don't know, but I think they have major issues, and I kind of feel bad for Tannehill, a guy trying to develop, and he's not going to have much in front of him. He's going to be looking at some serious pass rush. The running game, who knows? I mean, yeah, they got decent backs, Lamar Miller, Daniel Thomas. That so far, the guy that's looked the best in the camp in the preseason has been Knowshon. He's pushing, they're saying he may be the starter. I mean, he's got a lot of miles on him. And again, he had some real nice open running lanes to run in Denver. He's not going to be seeing that here in Miami.
See that this year.
So I'm not real high on the Dolphins.
Thanks, Cowboy Senior. Yeah, it's tough to be too high on the Dolphins. They're saying Daniel Thomas might not even make the team. Huh. Should be a two-headed running back with Knowshon and Miller. He's a second-round pick.
Second-round, yeah. High for a running back and to be not making a team. That's terrible.
And then Deion Jordan got suspended, I believe. Am I right about that?
I don't know.
I believe he did. I believe he got suspended for steroids. Oh. Or just some type of some type of drugs. And he was, I mean, they took him with a fifth overall last year, and he didn't have a great rookie year. So, not, I mean, if things break the right way, they could make some noise. If the line plays well, Wallace has looked better in the preseason. Him and Tannehill were not on the same page last year at all, and they've looked a little bit better. And the division's pretty weak, so they could, and I think that the weak division props up their record from last year. You got anything to add on the Dolphins, Andy?
No, I that's about it. I was just going to say I think I'm even less high on their offensive line than you guys are. So I think they're going to be pretty mediocre this
year. Pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at Mike Wallace. I mean, his strength is taking the top off of the defense, you know, running those deep routes. A quarterback needs time to throw those deep routes, so it's a bad fit because he has no time.
And he has not shown any ability to perform under a pass rush, pressure from the pass rush. So I don't see this going very well.
It happened in the preseason, too. I mean, it was a couple days ago in the last preseason game. Wallace had a pretty good game, but just like the poor Dolphins fans, like they saw all last year, there was one play where he was about 8 yards behind the cornerback, and Tannehill missed him. Tannehill missed him. It's a running theme there. So not a lot of good things to say about the Dolphins. Would you like to add anything on Mike Pouncey before we move on? Cowboys senior. You lambasted his brother, and Mike might... Mike, I believe, didn't he have some type of a summons served to him at Foxborough Stadium?
Yes, and you know what? You know, Mike being injured out half the season, he's the kind of guy that free time isn't a good thing for. have somebody watching him really close if I was the Dolphins. He's a good player. If he can stay the injury list
and good players.
Out of the slammer. These are bad dudes, the Pouncey brothers.
All right. Thank you, Cowboy Senior. I thought you might want to talk about Mike there. So next up, probably the most divisive team in the division as far as opinions. Opinions are all over the map. New York Jets finished last year at 8-8. It was a phantom 8-8. If you look at their points for and points against, they were 8-8 with a -97 point differential. I think a lot of that's attributable to Geno Smith and his growing pains. He had a couple of just real clunker games. He was very inconsistent. He had some really good games, but when he was bad, he was just extraordinarily bad, and they just got killed. So I think that's where that point differential comes in. They tended to win their close games. Well-coached team. I think Rex Ryan is a fantastic coach. And I like what they did in the offseason with one pretty glaring exception. So I like Decker. I know you have a quarterback. If you want to surround him with weapons, you're going to have to overpay a little bit. And they were willing to do that for Geno, which is nice. It's nice to see when a team's willing to pay for weapons for their quarterback. And bringing in Chris Johnson, who is I think he's still got some gas left in the tank. He's certainly not the 2,000-yard back that he used to be, but he's still him and Ivory make a pretty good two-headed back, and Bilal Powell out of the backfield. Overall, I think I like what they did. I don't like that they brought in Vic. So, Andy, we had talked about this before Vic had signed, and there were rumors that he was going to go to the Jets, that if you're gonna sign Vic as the Jets, you got to make him the starter.
Yeah.
Geno, again, he's a lot of natural talent there, but very inconsistent. And he just gave the impression that he would get flustered. Like once things started rolling bad, go to shit really quickly. So to have a backup for him like Vic, where one or two of these bad games, or maybe even less than that, in the Jets fans are going to be calling for Vic and chanting for Vic, and God forbid they put a package of plays in for Vic and he comes in and does something good. I just think it's kind of a lose-lose. I thought it would make sense to start the year up with Vic. I mean, the whole world knows he's going to get hurt eventually, right? If he does, great. But let Geno take over for him. No confident shot. We're trying to win this year. We think Mike gives us the best shot now. You're the quarterback of the future, Geno. That's how I would have played it. The way they did it reminds me of what they did with Tebow, which didn't work out great. So what do you think, Andy?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I mean, the ideal situation would be you get as much as you can out of Vic while he's healthy. And then when he gets hurt, you know, you get to bring in Gino a little rested and fresher and with a couple more weeks of, you know, studying up on the playbook and all that. And having someone for the fans to chant the name of when Gino struggles just seems counterproductive. If he's not going to start, I'm not sure what purpose Vic is serving.
Agreed. And I mean, frankly, I think he may give them a better chance to win than Gino. I mean, it's probably six in one hand, half dozen in the other. But it just seems like
you don't want to hurt his development. That's what really bugs me about this. You know what I mean? Like, they're not already a Super Bowl contender. You're at this point, you're trying to figure out whether Gino is the quarterback you want to stick with. So from that perspective, I could see why you'd want to start him in week one. But having Vic around, I mean, that could hurt the guy's confidence. You know what I mean? I don't understand where the gain is.
Right, agreed. And they're treating it as if they're that 8-8 team that's going to go 10-6 or 11-5. And I just don't see it.
Well, I guess if you believe the stories from, you know, that the coaches have coming out of camp, I guess they wanted Vic to kind of push Gino along in his development, like give him some competition. And it's just not worked out the way they wanted it to.
Well, but they named Gino the starter before either of them.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is they thought that Vic would be a little more interested in getting a starting job. You know what I'm trying to say?
Exactly.
Like, I guess what they're saying is that Vic is not putting the work in that he needs to put in if he wants to get this job.
No, he's just happy to be the backup in New York, and that's that, right?
I guess.
That's what Vic is.
Right? Vic, by all accounts, is a fantastic teammate, and I don't think that's the problem. I mean, yeah, I think he's more than willing to take Gino under his wing. I think the problem is that you have such a high-profile guy on the bench with an inconsistent young quarterback, you're going to kill the kid's confidence. The New York fans are freaking nuts. I mean,
yeah, they were hard enough on him last year when Sanchez was the other option. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I could picture, you know, someone in a Vic jersey, you know, with the dog, with the Smith jersey on, you know, by mid-season. Defensively, I think it's kind of a tale of two teams, and Andy and I were talking about this earlier. You have a really, really good front seven and a pretty bad secondary. So
it's just a great front three, which is part of the problem.
Yes, the front three is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I mean that's clearly the strength of the team. And defensively, I mean, I know that the personnel in the secondary doesn't look good, but I do believe in Rex as a defensive mind. That I think he can scheme with that talent he's got up front. He can scheme. He can scheme his way through with the secondary that they have. Cowboy Senior looks like he's chomping at the bit. what are your thoughts on the Jets?
Okay, I'll start with their offense because the defense is. I'm going to have a slight disagreement with what you said, but we'll start with the offense. Their offense last year ran the ball well, sixth in rushing, 31st in passing. Thing I said was the theme in this division after you get by the Patriots. They allowed the sixth most sacks in the NFL, 47. But they only had, which is even more alarming than the Dolphins, because they had the 29th most passing attempts. They only threw the ball 480 times, and they got sacked 47 times. And yet, I think they have a pretty good offensive line. That doesn't seem to add up, but I'm going to hang that on Gino just not getting the ball out. You got to get the ball out of there. When you got the support of a running game, you got a decent offensive line, there's no excuse to be getting sacked all those times. He's just holding the ball way too much. And the nice thing about their offensive line is they're all back. It's a solid group. It's anchored by Mangold at center, the Brickashaw Ferguson, a really good tackle. I mean, it's just a good, solid offensive line. We talked about cohesiveness. They've brought him back. It's the same offensive line, so they should be good. Yeah, they did do good things in the offseason, getting Decker, getting Chris Johnson. These guys are good run blockers. They might really enjoy blocking for Chris CJ3K, who I don't know how much he has left, but he may pop one once in a while, and guys like that, they might work even harder blocking for him. Obviously, they need Gino to develop, and I totally agree with everything you guys said, that they've completely mismanaged that situation. We won't even make it to halftime of the first game, and the fans in New York are going to be shouting, "We want Vic." They might be shouting it during warm-ups before the first game. I mean, they're putting the kid in an impossible situation, and the New York media is going to be all over it too. He's not going to be able to have a bad game. I mean, we know he's not going to be perfect. He needs to develop. I kind of feel bad for Gino there, but again, they do have a good running game. We'll give the offense credit there, but now getting to their defense, I agree. It's awesome front seven, awesome front three. You know, David Harris, Calvin Pace, really strong guys up front. But the secondary is more than a problem, especially the corners. We've all been reading the saga of Dimitri Patterson, who, ridiculous enough that they were counting on him to be a starting corner this year. When they brought him in, a guy who's missed 33 games in the last 3 years due to injury, he was already dinged up. And the other night for the exhibition game, he just didn't show up. Wasn't that nice? Unannounced, didn't tell anybody, just wasn't there at the game.
I'm not coming.
As of now, he's suspended. And for them to suspend a corner, that's pretty bad because they have nothing at corner. There are other starting. D. Milner has a high ankle sprain right now. Looks like he's not going to be ready for opening day. They had a rookie who had looked pretty good named Dexter McDougal. He blew out his knee in camp. He's done for the season. Safety Antonio Allen got a concussion Friday night. As of right now, their two starting corners are Darren Walls and Ellis Lankster. Two career backups. Mm. Two guys who played in the NFL and never been good enough to start.
Don't forget Kyle Wilson.
I'm sorry, but the cornerback position right now is so important in the NFL. Teams throw on you. I don't care how good the front seven is. If you can't cover anybody, and I agree with you that Rex is a really good defensive mind. In fact, I give the Jets credit. It's hard to believe I say this for a coach in general. I think Rex is a good coach.
Yes.
He's not only a good – I mean – we hate him for all his quotes and all his bragging because we're on the other side and everybody else hates him. But number one, he's a great defensive mind. Number two, guys want to play for him. Guys like him. Guys will run through a wall for Rex. So I give Rex high grades as a coach, but I don't care how good a schemer he is. You can't go out there with zero at cornerback. Those guys are going to get toasted. That's going to be a big problem. The whole Geno situation is going to be a big problem. I don't know if the positives of a good running game and a good front seven is going to be enough to overcome it. I mean, I see them. I'm not saying they're as bad as Miami. On paper, they're a better team than Miami. But the mismanaging of the quarterback situation and the absolute nothing at cornerback, you just can't do that in this day and age. You just can't. You have to have corners. Arguably the most important positions on the defense with the way the game is played now. And they've got Zippo there, so I think they're in big trouble.
Thanks, Cowboy Senior. I mean, Milner's coming back, and he at least has,
yeah,
he has talent.
Yeah, not until weeks five or six, though.
So. Is that accurate, Andy?
What? Sorry, I missed that.
Milner's out for the first 6 weeks of the season?
High ankle sprain.
For 6 weeks, is it? I didn't hear that.
I don't think they're saying that much yet.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought he might be back for week two.
This could be a recurring thing. They seem to be snake bit right now at that position.
I mean, they need him. Obviously, they need him. So.
That's what I'm saying. High ankle sprain. Those are hard to come back from.
When the best thing you can say about your cornerback position, out of all the guys on your team, is D. Milner with a high ankle sprain, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Agreed. Agreed. That's definitely a position of weakness. But
profound weakness. Over-the-top weakness.
Like you said, playing in a division against E.J. Manuel and Ryan Tannehill four times a year kind of does help. It helps when you have shitty cornerbacks. So
no, it's not going to hurt in the division.
Just against the Patriots.
Their cornerbacks are going to make Dobson and Edelman look like Demaryius Thomas and Megatron. Those guys can't cover anybody.
They get to play Megatron this year, too.
Yeah, they'll have a lot of fun with that.
That's going
to
suck.
All right. So, you know, we'll get keeping with the theme of the division, we're all a little bit lukewarm on the Jets. And now for who I feel is the most mismanaged team in the division and team that's got no identity. And I just can't stand what they've done. The Buffalo Bills. Bills.
We've got,
as Rocky found out last week,
Sammy Watkins.
I'm not a big fan of the way that the Buffalo's managed things. So, starting with that draft, and Andy and I have we talked about this on our draft review, but they, you know, what they did trading the first and fourth round pick in 2014, and then the first and the fourth in 2015 to move up five spots to take Sammy Watkins. The only comparable trade we've seen in recent years to that was what the Falcons did to move up to get Julio Jones. Pretty big difference in the teams in that the Falcons legitimately felt that they were maybe one guy away from a Super Bowl. And the way they were constructed, that that may be the case. The Bills are a lot of guys away from a Super Bowl. And to give up those kind of assets just makes absolutely no sense at all. I do respect that they're trying to put some pieces around Manuel, who hasn't looked very good. And if you remember, I mean, they took him in the first round when he was projected to go in like the fourth round. They wicked reached for him, and hey, he's a project. What do you expect? I don't have a lot of good things to say about this team. I think their running back situation is good. They have two good backs. Spiller's a home run hitter. Bryce Brown, who they signed in the offseason. Freddie Jackson's 33 years old. Eventually, that car's going to break down, and I think Brown's a good guy to have behind him. At the skill positions, I like what they have. Obviously, Sammy Watkins. Robert Woods, a pretty good young receiver. And I really like, I think Mike Williams is a guy who's going to help EJ Manuel a lot. They nice red zone target for him. And that's about, their defense isn't very good, in my opinion. Their offensive line isn't very good. They're too many pieces away to have made such a short-sighted deal. I mean, even if things break perfectly for them, they're going to go 8-8. And that's my opinion. Cowboy Senior, you seem to be super prepared tonight. So what are your thoughts on Buffalo?
Well, I'll take a little different perspective on their offseason. And it's just philosophical look at it, okay? Last year, their offense was second in the NFL in rushing yardage. Very strong. 28th in passing yardage. So what do you do in the offseason? I guess you try to shore up your passing game. Okay, so I agree that the trade they made was crazy, but at least you can see the philosophy of drafting a receiver to try to help your passing game, bringing in a left guard who's known to be a big, good pass blocker, Chris Williams from the Rams, bringing in Mike Williams, who had four or five really good years in a row before he had an injury plagued the year last year and has looked very good so far in the preseason. So at least there's a philosophy of, we looked at our weakness on offense, and we've tried to do something about it.
Yeah.
The rest of the offensive line back, obviously they can run block, and Spiller and Jackson are really good, so they have a running game. Obviously, the biggest question about the passing game is EJ Manuel. Is he going to take another step? Who knows? I can't answer that question. They also had that theme that I talked about in this division. They allowed way too many sacks, especially for a team that runs the ball as much as they do. They allowed 48 sacks, which was tied for fourth worst in the NFL, even though they only threw the 24th most passes. Alarming.
Wow.
I don't know if, again, do we lay that all on the offensive line, or is it a young quarterback who didn't get rid of the ball? And maybe with these added receivers, maybe he'll be able to get the ball out quicker. Maybe Watkins and Williams, who, by the way, they say Williams is beating out Woods as the other starting receiver right now. Looks like he's going to start.
One quick point, Cowboy Senior. I mean, Manuel didn't play the whole year.
No,
that's
true.
Thad Lewis was running around, not getting rid of the ball.
So that you can blame some of the sacks on that. So, again, philosophically, they looked at their weakness and they worked on it. And I have to give them some credit for that. Now we take a look at their defensive numbers. Same thing. It's kind of the opposite, though. They were horrible against the run. They were 28th against the run. They couldn't stop the run. Very good against the pass. Fourth against the pass. Why were they fourth against the pass? Obviously, part of it is because teams could run on them. So if you can run all day, you're not going to throw as much. However, when you look into the numbers, I like their secondary, and all four guys are back. Gilmore and McKelvin on the corners. Aaron Williams and Searcy, a good pair of safeties back. Mm. But now you look at their defensive line. Obviously, the big name on the left end, Mario Williams, had 13 sacks. The other defensive end, Jerry Hughes, had 10 sacks. The big defensive tackle, Kyle Williams, had 10.5 sacks. So they got pass rushing guys, and they've got good cover guys in the secondary. So that's obviously a big reason why they're good against the pass. Now, philosophically, what do you got to do in the offseason? You got to shore yourself up against the run. And they tried to do that. They went and signed Brandon Spikes. I mean, we know he is a run stopper. That's who he is. Also, as an outside linebacker, they got Keith Rivers from the Giants, who wasn't a guy that goes after the passer, and they didn't need that kind of outside linebacker. He's a guy that's solid against the run, that does some covering. So they made two good moves there, and again, showing that they want to shore up the defense against the run. It's already good against the pass. So I agree that the trade is kind of a senseless trade, to trade your first-round pick next year to move up five spots to get a receiver when you're a down-in-the-dumps team. But at least I can see some sense in the things they did in the offseason where they addressed their weaknesses. So I'm going to give them credit there. And also, what we're hearing out of their practices this year is they've had the most intense practices that teams have, that anybody's ever seen. That even now, at the end of camp, there's still one scuffle after another in practice. And Doug Marone's encouraged by this, that they're showing a lot of intensity, that these guys seem to want it. So, you know, maybe there's some good things to say about the Bills.
Thanks, Cowboy Senior, for that. That's a good take. Great take there. And it is a good defensive line. Marcell Dareus needs to get his head screwed on straight. He gets trouble off the field.
Yeah, that's true.
Mike Williams. I mean, Cowboy Senior, generally, we know you're high. You like guys with high character. Mike Williams is also
he's the sheriff.
The reason he's not in Tampa is, I mean, was it some kind of shooting or something? I mean, he's had all sorts of issues off the field. But again, I mean, you can say some good things about them, and you know, second place is such a crapshoot in this division that. You never know, right? It could be Buffalo. I don't think so, but it could be.
Could
Buffalo.
Be any of the three.
Are we going to do predictions for this division now?
Yeah, Keith. I mean, absolutely. Fantastic. Yeah, you're rushing the Cowboy.
Oh,
which,
no,
you know,
I'm
which
not.
Is a particular
no,
like.
I'm not.
But
what does Andy think of the Bills?
Yeah, what do you think of the Bills, Andy?
You guys covered it pretty well.
They suck. Don't worry about it.
The defense was kind of underrated last year, but they lost Jarius Byrd, and now Kiko Alonso's out for the year. So, I mean, you kind of have to figure they're going to take a step back.
That's right. We forgot about him.
Great points there, Andy. I mentioned those, and then I started talking about Mike Williams.
Yeah, the exciting Mike Williams. I understand. It all comes down to Emmanuel on offense. I mean, what did he have, three knee surgeries last year? You really want to see him stay healthy for a whole year before we can figure out what he really is. So,
I think this whole division behind New England is the same story. Can these quarterbacks develop? I mean, you know, two of them, Buffalo and
Miami.
New York, have second-year quarterbacks, right? Geno Smith, E.J. Manuel. Can they develop enough to where their defense can help them win games? And with Tannehill in Miami, I mean, I think he's got a little bigger job. You know, he's going to have to be on the level of scoring, you know, 25, 30 points a game.
Well, the thing with Miami is they've gone out and spent some real money trying to win now.
Right, right, right. And it's not his second year. It's his, what, third?
Yeah.
Third or fourth?
Third year.
Okay.
And Miami,
so, you know, he's a little further along in the process here. He's got to step up and you know, show the fans in Miami that he can do it. I mean, they went out and got him a running back, right? NoSean Moreno. Which personally, I think Lamont Miller might even be a better running back.
Well, they say Miller's probably going to be first and second down, and Moreno third.
I don't know.
You know, that's what E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith have that Ryan Tannehill doesn't. They both have good running games, especially E.J. Manuel has a really good running game.
Buffalo definitely.
So it definitely makes it easier on him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So like Keith said, let's get down to the nitty gritty here. I know that this could go any one of a number of ways.
Segway.
So since Keith was so eager, he was very eager. Eager Beaver. He was an eager beaver looking for the predictions. We'll let him go first.
All right. Here we go. Ready? Just like I said with Denver, we're going New England 14-2. Oh, that's right, football fans. Tune in week 9. That will be your 8-0 New England Patriots versus hosting your 8-0 Denver Broncos in Foxborough. Can't wait.
Game of
anyway,
the AFC.
14-2. New England Patriots walk away with this division. And I'm actually going to have two of these teams under 500. I think the one that will finish 500 is probably going to be the Jets. Back at 8-8 again. and the other two are going to be under 500. Let's say Dolphins 7-9 and Buffalo 6 wins.
Cowboy Senior.
I'd like to kind of, before I give my picks, I'd just like to say that in today's NFL, there are very, very few teams that have a real killer instinct, that know how to just destroy a team. And I know for a fact that under the current regime, the New York Jets will never be one of them, because Coach Ryan feels that the opposition would like it way too much if you put their foot, your foot on their throat.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Cowboy Senior.
Good old Sexy Rexy. Okay.
I just, that was, sorry, Justin.
If I played for the Patriots, I wouldn't be playing in the first half of opening day after that first, after that comment, as Wes Welker found out. Okay.
Be good little foot children.
Okay, now for my picks. I'll pick the Patriots, obviously the Patriots first, 13-3. I also, like Keith, have one team going 500, but it's not the Jets. I think the Bills are going to be the surprise team of the division, and they're going to be 8-8. I like some of the things that they're doing. I see the Jets at 6-10. And the Dolphins shoring up the rear at 5-11.
Okay.
Thank you, Cowboy Senior. You're up, Andy.
All right. This is a, you know, they all have a fairly tough schedule this year, so I think this is going to be fairly rough for this division this year. I think the Patriots are going to go 12-4. Jets 7-9. Dolphins 5-11, and the Bills 4-12.
Thanks, Andy. So I'll go last here. Like you said, they do have a difficult schedule. I'll take that into account in my pick. So I'll pick the Pats to win the division 11-5. We're going to have the New York Jets in second place at 7-9. Miami 6-10. Buffalo 2-14.
Bold. I like it.
That is bold.
I don't think it's that bold.
But no. Yeah. I said 4-12, so you're not far from me.
Annual is not very good. And I mean, I just don't.
Right, but they get to play the Jets and the Bills.
They are the Bills. So,
I mean, the Jets and the Dolphins. So, I don't know.
So, that's beautiful. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's going to be an interesting year in the AFC. They didn't get, you know, it'd be an absolute shock if the Patriots don't win the division. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I think that's what we all just said.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I, as a fan, I'd rather have them go 11-5 and keep, you know, my thing would be just put Gronkowski on the pup list. So we can keep the first, so this, 6 weeks of the season, we know what he can do. You know, it's not like they're in any danger of not making them, of not winning the division. So, you know,
they really should be like, they should get the bye, right? Like, would we be surprised if they didn't get a first round bye?
Well, you got Cincinnati.
I would be surprised.
You got Denver.
Even if you pencil in Denver, is one of them.
Funny. Yeah, one of those teams.
Right, one of them teams is not getting one. So yeah.
I think based on my records, I have Cincinnati. But I would, you know, given the strength of the Patriots, get six games against just cupcakes. Listen,
it's if Week 9 comes and the Denver New England game isn't a battle of two undefeateds, I will be completely shocked.
I'd like for the Patriots to lose that game this year and then win in the playoffs.
Rather than whip ass both times.
Okay, very good. Spirited debate, guys. That was fantastic. We're going to go to break here, and on the break you'll hear about all the other podcasts that you can hear at placetobenation.com, our home. Whether you're into wrestling, pop culture, other sports, the Extra Point's a great podcast. So take a listen and to dial those up as well. I know you're Sports Lounge fans, but you should explore the whole website. So we'll be back shortly. Thanks, guys.
I'm going to go talk to Pouncey. We'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant.
Sorry.
The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island, and look for the great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith's blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Welcome back to the Sports Lounge. After a heated debate about the AFC East, we now move from, which is probably top to bottom, the worst division in football, the AFC East, to everybody's pick for the best division in football, which would have been unthinkable 3 or 4 years ago, by the way. Do you remember how bad the NFC West was?
7-9 won the division.
Yeah, Seattle gets into the playoffs at 7-9 and then beats New Orleans and at home. That's when Beast Mode was born.
That's right.
Beast Mode. Then got out of Buffalo. He's lucky to get out of that hellhole. So, yes, if you haven't caught on, we're going to preview the NFC West. And as is customary here on the Sports Lounge, we're going to start with the team that finished first. Seattle Seahawks, your Super Bowl champion, came in at 13-3. Won this division by one game. Again, I feel the marquee division in football, and it's tough to find holes with this Seattle team. They went on a nice run. I mean, their point differential was absurd. I mean, they were the second best team in the NFL for point differential, plus 186. Only Denver was better, and we saw what happened in the Super Bowl. They were about the worst possible matchup for the Broncos. They played the make Peyton throw the ball more than 25 yards in the air, and if he doesn't, just beat the shit out of the receivers. And it worked like a charm. That one's been working for the last decade, though, Andy. You know what I mean?
That's right.
But, again, not a lot of holes on this team. Andy, what are your thoughts on the Seahawks?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going back and forth on this. Like, part of me thinks, you know, year after, there's a little bit of a hangover from winning the Super Bowl. Maybe guys are looking out for themselves instead of buying into the whole team thing. I don't know. But there's still so much talent on this roster. It's hard for me to see them, you know, taking a big step backward. Like, the defense is still just phenomenal. And, I'm trying to make myself force the decision on myself. I think they're going to be pretty clearly I think they'll be the best team in the division this year.
All right. I mean, that defense is great. Defense is, if something were to happen to Sherman, I think it would be big problems.
Oh, now I remember the other thing I was thinking of. But, you know, there's been this whole story of the preseason is the new defensive, what's it called, emphasis on pass interference. They're going to, you know, try and take away the Seahawks strategy of just mugging receivers on every play. So, you know, that could hurt them, certainly, but I think there's just so much talent there. I don't know if it's going to be I don't think they're going to become the worst defense in the league or anything.
They're a well-coached team. Pete Carroll has really proven himself as an NFL coach here in Seattle. That home field advantage is ridiculous. It's the toughest place to go play in the league. I think the thing that works against them is the division they're in. I mean, going 13-3 in this division was
phenomenal,
exactly. And I mean, it won't take much to lose a few more games when you're every single week you're playing against a fantastic team. And Percy Harvin, Keith and I were speaking about Percy Harvin. He's a real key for them. If he stays healthy, he puts them, you know, I think it puts them on a whole nother level,
above and beyond.
Will he stay healthy? Who knows. Cowboy Senior, I'm sure you have some thoughts on the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback a little bit on what Andy said about these new the fact that they're throwing more flags in preseason. I think that that's going to diminish when the regular season starts. They can't throw as many flags as they are now because they'll destroy the game, and they know that. You can't have a flag every other play like we're seeing in the preseason. The Seahawks' physical style, they're going to take a lot of penalties. Even they call it the way they did last year. The Seahawks led the NFL in penalties last year. No strange coincidence. The year before, the Baltimore Ravens led the NFL in penalties. There's nothing wrong with being a physical team. I don't think they worry about the flags. Number one, they're able to overcome them and go 13-3 while leading the league in penalties. And number two, come playoff time, those flags are staying in the pockets a lot more. They're throwing them a lot less. And you just keep playing that same style. And now the team that went 13-3 getting penalized isn't getting penalized anymore. And they're just almost impossible to beat. So it's kind of a theme. The last 2 years, the team that led the league in penalties won the Super Bowl. And it's, I think I touched on this in an earlier week, that come playoff time, the game is officiated completely different. I mean, it's just a huge, a way lower percentage of pass interference, of that beautiful call of hitting the defenseless receiver doesn't even get called in the playoffs. So they don't care how many flags they throw. The Seahawks aren't going to play any different. And even if it costs them a game or two, they'll be in the playoffs and they'll just keep playing the same way. And they're going to be awful hard to beat. Mm-hmm. That defense is just awesome. Sherman is one of the two best corners in the league, along with Revis. He's really good. You just go through the defense. It's one big stud after another. I really like Bruce Irvin. I mean, who doesn't? Yeah, the safeties are Thomas and Chancellor. Those guys will really make you think about coming across the middle. They'll knock your head off.
There's not a better tandem in the league.
Absolutely not. Totally agreed. Russell Wilson, already playing like a veteran, and you can't expect him to do anything but get better. He's a young quarterback. I mean, he's just wise beyond his years. Yeah, if Harvin stays healthy, give him a weapon like that, who's not only a guy that can go deep, but is unbelievably versatile, unbelievable, a guy who can take a wide receiver screen and go 40 yards with it. He's just a yak waiting for a place to happen. Mm-hmm. So Lynch running between tackles, punishing you. It's just, they're just a really solid team. It's really hard to repeat, but they certainly have a legitimate chance of repeating. They're going to be really hard to beat.
I don't have much to say about this team besides last year they were above and beyond the best team in the league. And I think coming into this year, they are still the best team in the league. This defense, regardless of whether they call the illegal contact downfield, they still have the best front seven in all of football. It's ridiculous. I mean, you have no time to go through progressions, nothing. I mean, you got to go to the line of scrimmage and say, okay, I'm going to snap the ball. I'm going to take a three-step drop, and I'm throwing it there and hope that one of the linebackers isn't standing there against this team. I mean, this defense is ridiculously talented. And that's even with them, like I said, calling this illegal contact downfield, this crack they're trying in the preseason now. I don't think it's going to matter. Look. I don't know if anybody out there listening right now has ever played the video game Madden Football.
I played a little bit of Madden in my day.
Okay. If you think about great defenses, you go back to, right, what, 85 Bears?
85 Bears. That's the
2000 Ravens.
Yep.
And now you can throw on the 2013 Seahawks because that's how good they were last year. I mean, think about it. The Broncos last season broke almost every record in the book, right, offensively. And the Seahawks made them look like a junior varsity team, like a college team. They just beat the shit out of them. I mean, this defense is 100% for real. They are still, in my opinion, the best team in the NFL, never mind their own division, the best team in the NFL. And barring major injuries to certain key players, I don't see anybody taking that title from them this year.
So the ending, I'll play devil's advocate here, as seems to be the case tonight. I think the defense was very, very good. Historically good. I don't put them on par with those other teams. Just given the fact, I mean, San Francisco, I mean, was one tipped pass away from beating them in the finals.
But that was another great defensive team. San Francisco had a great defense,
right?
As
but
well
the game wasn't
year.
7-6 or anything. I mean, they gave up some points in that game. Was it last year that they got the gift at the beginning of the season, the Golden Tate gift from the refs?
That was last season. Right. I mean, not 13, but 12.
What was that?
That was 2012, right?
Oh, sorry. Yes. So, apologize for that. That's Cowboy not doing his homework there. But. So they're I feel that it's a very good defense, but not on the list. I mean, those
really,
yeah. I mean, I don't think you could put Trent Dilfer at quarterback of this team and they still win. I mean, I just don't. I mean, it's I think that the margin of error there was so slim. I think they're a terrible. I mean, they were the best defense to play against Denver because of the way they play. That matchup was just awful for Denver. But with the other heavy hitters in the NFC. I mean, Carolina's defense was just as good as Seattle.
No. Keep going.
Last year, it was statistically better.
I don't care about statistics.
We don't care about statistics.
I care about I saw with my own two eyes. No chance.
Carolina didn't have the offense that the Seahawks had. That's for
no,
sure.
No, I didn't say they're a better team. I say we're going to call them a historically
I'm
good defense.
Offense. I'm talking
which
defense.
Debatable that they were the best defense in their conference.
Man.
I mean, in Carolina, you know, did it? You know, played New Orleans twice, played Atlanta twice.
Who was the number one corner on the Carolina Panthers?
It's a team unit, though, Keith. You know, I mean,
I'm just asking. I'm just saying, who's the safeties?
I mean, they have a Keckley. Right,
which was great,
quite a bit better than any linebacker.
Front seven. You may have an argument, but when it came to the secondary, Earl Thomas, Chancellor, Browner, Sherman.
I'm not saying they were better. No, I'm just saying it's a talk. I mean, you look at points against, as Cowboy Seed you said, if you look at the statistics, it was a talk. And I really like Seattle. I don't think they're repeating. Yeah, there's too much parity. In the NFL,
their offense
can be outscored. I see a team. I think if they make it to the Super Bowl, they're going to be really, really tough for either the Patriots or the Broncos to beat, just because of the way the teams are constructed. But I see a team like Green Bay or New Orleans out. If one of those teams can be home against them in the playoffs and not have to go to Seattle,
you just named the four best quarterbacks. In the National Football League. And that's what it will take on their best game to beat that Seattle team. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers.
I don't give Peyton Manning or Tom Brady much of a chance against the Seahawks team. I think the matchup's
depending on what happens, I mean, defensively as well. You got to factor in that as well. But
we're talking NFC West. I mean, you got to at least say that San Francisco's got a chance against them.
Yeah, I see. Nope. I don't like what's going on there.
They did last year. They had a real good chance against them last year.
No, and I mean they match up well.
He'll be back at midseason. We're talking playoffs.
Okay. We're gonna. So that's a good segue, Cowboy Senior, to San Francisco. See, they just seem to be, and maybe this is the preseason, but it just seems like there's such a small margin of error in that division, and the difference between that two teams was so razor thin. And San Francisco did come up on the short end of the stick, barely, but they came up on the short end of the stick. And it's just things have not gone particularly well for San Francisco since then, right? So Bowman, obviously, not going to be around.
But he should be back by midseason. Okay?
Right.
So San Francisco is going to make the playoffs.
I don't think that's a given. I don't think it's a given for any of these teams in that division.
I'd be very surprised if San Francisco.
So, and if you watch, I mean, Kaepernick looks like he's taken a pretty big step back. I mean, in the preseason, I'm not sold on Kaepernick as a big game quarterback. He makes mental mistakes. He makes mistakes that Wilson doesn't make. They're, you know, their running back's a year older. I do like the backup there. It just seems like Seattle is better than them at pretty much every position. And Aldon Smith, I mean, who knows, right? I mean, he's a huge part of their defense, and he could, you know, he could get suspended, right? For
Right.
Yeah, I played without him a while last year. They're really good.
They are, but without – when you take Navarro Bowman and Aldon Smith out of the equation, now your defense becomes almost average.
Okay, but you don't necessarily
it's not the same defense you had last year, so.
And you're not taking him out of the equation. Like you said, Willis is still a great linebacker. They're a very good team, but I see him as a step behind San Francisco, and I just see him trending in the wrong direction. Andy.
Oh, thought you had a question for me. I think there's enough. I could see this going really badly, you know, depending on the Aldon Smith suspension, how that goes, and missing Navarro Bowman for however long he's out. You know, sometimes even with like really great teams, sometimes you just have that year where everything goes wrong and it's just one thing after another and everything just kind of like keeps building up. But you know, so there's a part of me that wants to say they're going to take a big step back, but I kind of like Kaepernick. I know you said he makes some mental mistakes, but he's been like he's been so like fantastic in the playoffs. Like that gives me a lot of like hope for him. You know what I mean?
I thought he single-handedly blew that game against Seattle with all the
obviously that throw that ended the game was not a great decision.
Not just the end of the game. I mean, they were up 10-0 in that game. But he had turned the ball over three times in the second half, twice in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what happens when you're playing the best defense.
We've also learned recently that he played almost the whole season injured last year. He got hurt in the second game of the season. That can wear on you mentally. We know the kid's got a lot of ability. Is he gonna turn that into maturity and get better? He certainly has the potential. He has the tools to be a very good quarterback. He's got all the tools that you could need.
And he's got more weapons.
Okay, Steve.
He's got more weapons now.
In the sake of discussion, it's very possible that Navarro Bowman and Aldon Smith are there for the playoffs. Mm. Also, last year they went a long time. These are things that have gone bad. Okay, I'll point out some things that could go good. Kaepernick could not be hurt all year. He could play healthy. He could take a step up. They could have Crabtree all year this year. They certainly missed him when he was out last year. Chris Culver, a very good cornerback, was out all year last year with a torn ACL. He's back, seems healthy. The defense has added Antoine Bethea, a guy we talked about when we talked about Indy, that rocket strong safety. Real solid, steady player. Safety position, very important. They drafted a guy by the name of Jimmy Ward in the first round out of Northern Illinois, a free safety who's not known as being a big hitter, who's known for his cover skills and having very good man-to-man skills, who's going to be able to help against the tight ends. So, yeah, some things have gone bad, but it's not necessarily going to stay bad, and some things could be better than last year. And this was a real good team last year. I'm not counting San Francisco out of anything.
No, never.
I think they're good at, I mean, you could have made the argument that they were the second best team in the NFL last year, and they if they could be 100% healthy at playoff time this year and be even better, and Colin Kaepernick has all the tools and could get better. Oh, another guy I didn't mention. We all, you know, Frank Gore, who just every year we think it's the end of the line for him. He's solid as a rock. He comes back, and rookie Carlos Hyde, the second round pick out of Ohio State, looks really good too. So. And they've added, you know, a little depth at receiver with Stevie Johnson and Brandon Lloyd, veteran receivers who can help also. So,
Just God forbid if Kaepernick goes down because then Big Pussy's coming in.
It's not everything's not all cloudy and bad in San Francisco. They're a pretty good team. More than a pretty good team.
I agree they are a very good team. And I think a lot of it depends on Harbaugh because there is a negative feeling going around there. And I mean, it starts with him and the issues he has with the GM. I mean, he was almost gone in the offseason. And as you know, as great as they've been the last 2 years, to not get over the hump last year, I think really, really. I mean, they needed to win that game, I think. And I can see things with. If you've watched them in the preseason, their first team offense in particular has looked putrid. I mean, really, really bad. And
so,
I know it's only
so has the defense,
and it's only the preseason. But I can see if you start out, you know, you lose a couple of games at the beginning of the year, You don't have, you know, there's not a lot of real steadying kind of influences in that locker room. I mean, Crabtree's a bit of a diva. Alden Smith certainly isn't going to be displaying any leadership skills. So
Jimmy Harbaugh's a real strong hand at the helm, though.
Right. That could backfire, though. Like, you know, if things go badly and they lose a couple games, sometimes that disciplinarian coach isn't really going to help things.
Andy knows a lot about that with Tom.
That's right. That's probably what I'm thinking of.
You're right. You know what? You're absolutely right.
I take Harbaugh over Coughlin any day.
Yeah, I'm not really saying they're on the same level, just the same kind of style of, you know.
I agree.
I'm sorry.
Chewing guys out and all that.
If things go bad. It's possible that things don't go bad for this team.
I'm sorry, I disagree.
And also, I wouldn't overly react to preseason. Because you see it every year, trends in the preseason and the regular season starts, and after the first game, you completely forget about what happened in the preseason because
teams go 0-4 in the preseason
and look like crap, and then come out and win by 35 points opening day.
Right.
So it's just, I mean,
don't put too much emphasis on
preseason. No, and I completely agree with that. And I'm not someone who generally puts a lot of credence into what I'm seeing in the preseason. It's just with these two teams in particular, the margin was so razor thin that you're looking for little stuff, right? I mean, at the end of the year, they were the two best teams in football. I think San Francisco does the exact same thing to Denver that Seattle would do. Yeah. I mean, I don't see much of a difference.
I'll say this: 2 years ago, I thought the same thing. I thought San Fran would do the same thing to Baltimore, and they got it handed to them.
Well, it was again they lost at the
they
end.
They didn't get a hand.
Kaepernick
sorry.
To Crabtree.
They lost, but. I'm just saying, I thought San Fran was a much better team than Baltimore two years ago.
For those two teams that were so close at the end of last season, I think if you polled NFL experts, including ourselves, and said, one of these teams is taking a big step back this year, who is it? I think you're going to get 5 or 6 to 1 for San Francisco over Seattle.
Bye-bye.
That's me. If one of these teams is taking a big step back this year.
What's the one constant in the NFL, Cowboy Senior? That you never know what's going to happen from year to year.
Right.
One of these teams is taking a big step back this year. I'll sit here and say it because it happens every year. It happens every year.
To somebody, but it's not necessarily going to be one of these two teams.
It's going to be one of these two teams.
Okay.
You heard it here first.
No, okay.
And I'm not so sure it's not Seattle, but it's...
How hungry is this San Francisco team with what they've been through the last 2 years? You got to wonder. Are there guys that are really, really hungry, that really want one bad, that really want to atone for what happened the last 2 years? And there's a lot of talent there.
That's very true.
So, we'll get to it in the predictions, but it's a real interesting race at the top of this division, and a lot of people look at this as a two-horse race in this division, and I couldn't disagree more. Brings us to our next team, who finished a surprising 10-6 last year, Arizona Cardinals. This is a team that the Cowboy can get behind. This is the Cowboy likes.
Is that because you lived in Arizona?
No, absolutely not. Okay. It has nothing to do with that. Believe me, everybody in Arizona hates the freaking Cardinals. Good little story. I went to the last game that they played at Sun Devil Stadium before they built the University of Phoenix Stadium. It was against the Eagles. Both teams were like 4-11 at the time or something, and. Someone, not just the handmade sign, but you know the signs that like the advertisers would pay to put around the stadium? There was a sign that was paid for. It didn't even say by who. It just said, "Thanks for the memories, Cardinals, both of them." So that's what we were dealing with there. So it's like Jake the Snake, and that was just about it.
Tillman, right? Maybe those two?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
you
Pat Tillman, American hero.
Well, I'm trying to think of the two...
Jake
memories.
The Snake, and this was before they made the Super Bowl. I really like this team. I really like Bruce Arians. I think Carson Palmer is really the issue, but I think he's still got enough left, and I think he's good enough with those weapons around him. I mean, they have they have arguably, I mean, with, you know, maybe Chicago would have something to say about it, or Green Bay, but they have one of the top five receiving corps in football. Larry Fitzgerald is Larry Fitzgerald, right? I mean, he maybe has lost a half a step, but Michael Floyd is good. Michael Floyd is one of these guys who's in, he could really, really step up this year and be like a top 10 receiver in the NFL. And as he draws coverage, Fitzgerald's going to be open more. And then a guy that has really lit it up, that looks great in that, that they're drawing comparisons to when Bolden was a rookie for the Cardinals and no one knew who he was. And then boom, he jumped out and he was fantastic. It's a guy named John Brown, who's already overtaken Ted Ginn for the number three receiving duties. And Andre Ellington is a weapon at running back. I mean, he averaged like 5.5 yards a carry last year. He is a good, good running back. One of the issues with the Cardinals, of course, is has always been their offensive line, and will they keep Palmer upright? And I mean, he's going to take his share of hits, but I think they're set up a little bit better this year with a guy like Ellington. They're not going to be doing a lot of between the tackles stuff. It's going to be spread them out, chuck it to the receivers, swing it to Ellington out of the backfield, and I think this team can score points against these great defenses in the division. And defensively, I think they're loaded. I mean, they're a very, very good defense, and they gave Seattle, the great Seattle Seahawks, more problems than anyone last year. They ended the home streak, the Seattle winning streak, even though Palmer threw four picks in that game. Seattle had won how many games in a row at home? Was it 20, something like that? And they won that game, right, with Palmer throwing four picks, because this defense played better than Seattle's defense in that game in Seattle.
It's a very good defense.
And if you look at those corners, I mean, you could try to find me a better pair of corners. Maybe the Pats, right? Cromartie, Revis, and Browner. But Patrick Peterson and Cromartie. Cromartie's back into the two role, where that's where he thrives. So
lock your daughters up.
Cowboy senior, it's uncalled for right there. But I think it's a team on the upswing. I think any other division, you put this team in the AFC North, I'd pick them to beat Cincinnati and win the AFC North. Cowboy senior looks like he's got, so he mustn't like the Cardinals because he's chomping at the bit here.
I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm just going to point out a couple of things. You know, yeah, the defense was really good last year. I mean, they got a couple of things that they have to overcome this year, though. I think the big anchor of that defense against the run, they were incredible against the run, second in the league in rushing defense. Carlos Dansby is just a huge loss. He went to Cleveland. I mean, maybe the best run-stopping linebacker in football. That's a tough one to overcome. What have they done to overcome it? They signed free agent Larry Foote from the Steelers. He missed almost the whole season last year with a torn bicep. If he comes back at his best, okay, he somewhat makes up for it. Even at his best, he's not Carlos Dansby. And Dansby also called the signals on defense. Kind of an important thing, not something you want to underrate. They've given that job to second-year man Kevin Minter, who didn't even play a lot last year, so that's a lot to ask of him. I guess they believe in him that he can do it, so that's fine. Also, I mean, a key guy that tore two knee ligaments last year, we don't know how he's going to come back, is the Honey Badger. You hope he comes back to what he was. Also,
Honey Badger,
Darnell Dockett, the big defensive lineman, another guy that's a big help against stopping the run, tore his ACL and is out for the season. So the defense was really good last year. Is it going to be as good this year with all those losses? I don't know. Yeah, the corners are real good, obviously. Peterson and Cromartie, you're not going to get any better than that. The offense is a good, solid offense, but yeah, like you said, they don't do anything between the tackles. They really don't have a good running game. Ellington got you 5.5 yards a carry, but there's not a large quantity of carries there, which makes it easier to have a bigger average. The receivers are very good. Carson Palmer is a little questionable, especially playing behind an offensive line where they get at him. He certainly doesn't have a lot of mobility at this point in his career. So I'm going to temper things a little bit on the Cardinals with that. I'm the guy who played devil's advocate this time. Bruce Arians, as good a coach as there is in football, proved it last year, proved it when he took over for Chuck Pagano the year before and won the NFL Coach of the Year. Excellent coach, so we give him high grades there. But a lot, their strength last year was their defense, and they have a lot to overcome, a lot of losses to overcome on that defense.
Andy, what do you think of Arizona?
It's tough because I really like this team, just like in general for some reason. I had a roommate in college who was a Cardinals fan. I have fond memories of them beating Dallas in the playoffs that one year, many years ago. But, I'd like to say they had a shot at the playoffs, but losing Terrell Washington is a big loss. Their secondary is still phenomenal, but I'm just not sure. And Calais Campbell on the defensive line is good too, but I'm not sure there's enough talent around him to make this as good a defense as it was last year. And, they got, like you said, their receiving core looks pretty good. Their offensive line should be better, although I guess Jonathan Cooper is struggling with injuries again. Their first-round pick from 2013, so that's going to hurt. And it really just comes down to Palmer, who I used to like, but I'm pretty sure we could say he's washed up at this point, unfortunately. I don't think they're going to be a very good team.
Wow. Going the other way there, Andy.
That's right.
We'll have to talk about that. I see it totally different. Keith?
I don't feel too much different than senior. Unfortunately, I think if this team was in another division, maybe the AFC North, they might finish in first place. But unfortunately, they're in the same division with Seattle and San Francisco, and I just don't see them being able to hold ground with them. I really don't. I mean, offensively, Carson Palmer, if he has his best season of his career, maybe, because he has weapons. But I don't think he's that good of a quarterback. I really don't. I mean,
he's lost a little bit off his fastball.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ever since the knee injury. Once he had that knee injury in Cincinnati, he was done after that. I mean, it's not the same. But, they have a good defense. Like I said, if they were in a different division, if they weren't competing with Seattle, San Fran, and St. Louis, I would give this team a shot. But the fact that they're in that same division, I'm sorry. I think they're going to come up short.
Yeah, so my deal, I'm obviously a guy who thinks San Fran's taking a step back, and if that's the case, I think somebody's got to move up. The team scored about 1.2 points per game less than the 49ers, the vaunted 49ers last year. Then that's with going against those two vicious defenses four times. But we'll see what happens. That's why they play the games, folks. But it's just...
Do they have the same defense they had last year?
No. But I think the offense is better, considerably better. I think Floyd got hurt last year, and he's a year three receiver who really showed flashes of going up there, getting up into that like Julio Jones kind of territory.
Better calm down there, but okay. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
I like Michael Floyd.
Yeah,
he did very good, but...
And, I was just really impressed with the way they played at the end of the season. I mean, they were against insurmountable odds in that division, and they kept fighting. I mean, to go 10-6 in that division really, really says something.
Yes,
to me.
Very true.
And
very
they've, true. The defense has taken some hits, but they've also added some guys. So I just, I feel that they could be your surprise team this year because they were 10-6 and nobody gives them the time of day. No, but because of the other two teams in the division and it's
other three.
Yeah. Let's
segue over to the Rams.
Another good segue there by Keith. We're gonna go to the Rams. The Rams finished 7-9. And big news this week, of course, is that poor Sam Bradford. Guy can't stay on the field. Retore the same ACL that caused him to miss almost all of last season. Pretty much stick a fork in him at this point. If it's happening for him, it's not going to happen in St. Louis. I don't think they stick with him through the offseason this time. It's they have to move on. Particularly with their defense. I mean, they have one of the better defenses in the league. The defenses in this division are just crazy. Rams have a great defense. Offensively, I think they're extremely challenged, and I think that's why they'll finish in last place again. Schottenheimer, It's probably the worst offensive coordinator in the league, maybe possibly in league history. And I mean, that's the honest to God's truth. I mean, he's
Jeff. Is that you?
What has the guy done? I mean, besides not develop like premium talent, I mean, that's his thing, right? So, you know, Bradford, number one overall pick, has looked like shit for his whole career. They draft Tavon Austin last year, was number 7 overall, and this guy can't figure out how to use him. You know, and me and Andy got a little argument about this earlier, saying he did try to use him. But, you know, like Andy said, they put a package of about 5 plays in for him and ran those same 5 plays once a week.
Like dumb reverses that every defense could see coming.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you put – this is a – you know, think of we were talking about the AFC still. Think of a guy like Tavon Austin who looks like a bust, right? Looks like, yeah, maybe he's having trouble grasping the playbook or what the hell's going on. You know, put him in the slot in New England and see if he's any good. I bet he would be okay. I'm just throwing that out there. Kenny Britt is a guy, lots of natural talent, but all sorts of injuries, and he's looked really good in camp, so he could be the guy for them. Sean Hill, I think, is probably. I don't think it's really much of a downgrade. Honestly, I don't think losing Bradford hurts him that bad. If you look at their career numbers, Sean Hill's probably statistically been the better quarterback over his career than Bradford. And he could be a guy who's good for Kenny Britt in that Sean Hill, in his previous job for the Lions, showed a propensity to just throw it up to Calvin.
Yes, correct.
Which is exactly what I would do if I were a backup quarterback. I would come in and just however many
throw
guys
are covering,
just throw
one.
It up to Calvin. So he'll probably be throwing it up to Britt. Zach Stacy, serviceable running back, nothing great.
I think he's pretty good.
Again, fifth round pick last year. He'll get what's blocked for you, you know. But I know Keith's real high on the defense, so let Keith talk about the defense a little bit now that I've decimated the offense.
I just see this. It's the best pass rush, in my opinion, in the NFL with Quinn and Long on opposite ends. I mean, these guys have the propensity to get 20 sacks apiece. Both of them, guaranteed. Will it happen? Who knows? We got to see what goes on around them. They got Laurinaitis coming back from injury. Ogletree was pretty good. Their secondary was decent. If anybody watched any of these games last year, the Rams, that pass rush was sick, very sick. Like these quarterbacks were afraid. They snap the ball, get rid of it real quick, audible the running plays. They didn't want to get hit by Quinn and Long. They really didn't. And they drafted a new pass rusher this year in Aaron Donald, right?
He's a big space eater.
Right. And
no, he's actually smart.
With Michael Sam as well. So.
Yeah, he's more of a pass rush from the inside kind of guy.
Right. So I mean,
mouth to lunch today.
It happens.
Defensive line is going to be something nice, and you need that in this division. If you're going to compete with San Fran and Seattle, you have to have a gritty, hard-nosed defense, which all four teams in this division have. And I like St. Louis's pass rush better than all the other teams in the division. I think Seattle is the most complete with the complete front seven plus secondary. San Fran has a great linebacking core. Arizona, decent front seven, great secondary. And St. Louis has the great front four. I don't know where they're going to finish, especially now with Bradford going down. I think Kenny Britt would have been a pretty good pickup for them. That was under the radar signing for them with Kenny Britt. I mean, this guy was the number one receiver in Tennessee 2 years ago.
Three years ago. He's still young. He's the youngest guy in the NFL.
He had injuries, and he was a knucklehead a little bit. Let's just say straight out. I mean, the guy was a knucklehead. But when you come and you play for Jeff Fisher, maybe straighten this shit out, you know? And Fisher, if I'm not mistaken, Fisher was in Tennessee his first year, right? His rookie year?
Yeah, I mean, Britt, it's a health thing with Britt. He's got all sorts of talent. If he's healthy.
He was healthy last year. He was just a knucklehead.
Oh, he didn't want to play.
He didn't want to play last year.
No.
He didn't like the coach. Didn't like the quarterback.
But he wasn't himself. I mean, he was terrible last year, even when he didn't play.
Oh, correct. Correct.
It's an injury thing. But, I mean, if his explosiveness is truly sapped forever, which happens to some guys, then he's done. Ooh. I think he's young enough that he could come back. Cowboy Senior, what's your take on the Rams?
Well, one guy that nobody's even mentioned yet was the number two pick in the draft, Greg Robinson, that monster at left guard. You know, I think Zach Stacy's a pretty good back, and now you run him behind up that left side behind Robinson and Jake Long, you might be able to get something going there. They could have I think their skill position players are pretty good. I think the loss of Bradford hurts. I mean, to say that Hill's as good as him, I think Bradford had a much higher ceiling if he would have gotten some experience. I really feel bad for the kid with what happened to him, as hard as he worked to have torn that same ACL again. It's a really tough thing.
The Cowboy Senior, he's made about $60-70 million. So don't feel too bad for him.
You know he wants to play.
If you're not going to play.
It's a good fallback.
It's nice, but I think that they were a better team before he went down.
Of course.
Yes.
I think I think their skill position guys on offense are pretty good. Zach Stacy, if Kenny Britt steps up, and as much as you know, Austin was mismanaged and everything else last year, we did see some flashes from him where he showed his explosiveness. If they could ever learn how to use him, he could be a weapon. And again, they've shored up that offensive line big time with Greg Robinson. So the offense has potential, no doubt about it. Not much of a quarterback, unfortunately. That kind of sets him back. And then the defense is good, no doubt about it. But, you know, all the complimentary things that Keith is saying about the pass rush doesn't really speak volumes for their secondary then, that they finished 15th overall against the pass last year, which is just middle of the pack with one of the best pass rushes in football. So you got to question their secondary. And their starting left corner, Tremaine Johnson, is out at least 4 to 6 weeks. He sprained his ACL the other day, so they lost Brad for the season. They lost the starting corner, which is a real important guy. You know, they're going to be stout against the run. You know, they got a good front seven. Laurinaitis anchors that run defense really well. And I'm kind of lukewarm on them too, as I was on Arizona, where we're calling this top to bottom a great division. I'm not sure that these two teams are that good. I think the loss of Bradford really, really tempered the expectations of this team. But we'll see.
Andy, what do you think?
That's about – you pretty much stole my thunder on that one. I think the pass rush is going to be really, really good. I like Aaron Donald a lot. That's a guy that I really wanted the Giants to pick, and they did not, but that's all right. You know, like you said, Quinn and Long are a great set of ends, and then you put that disruptive defensive tackle in the middle, and they have the potential to be really, really good. The secondary is a problem. You know, they got rid of Cortland Finnegan, so maybe that's a addition by subtraction there. But if Ogletree, who they picked in the first round last year, improves and Laurinaitis bounces back a little bit, their linebackers could be pretty good. I think their defense is going to be good. And I think kind of their best case scenario is what Arizona did last year, where a pretty mediocre offense gets dragged up by a spectacular defense.
And if you're looking for a positive for the Rams, I mean, they had Kellen Clemens in for most of the season.
And they weren't that bad on offense.
They were 7-9, and they finished 7-9 in a very, very tough division.
Right. So
it's a, you know, it's not as though they were 4-12 or something.
I got to say, if it wasn't Schottenheimer, I'd be a lot more optimistic about this team.
He is terrible, isn't he?
He is that bad that I think, you know, he can hold them back.
Anyone in the lounge right now could go and manage that offense. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, Brian, you suck.
Set 42!
Well, I mean, it's just...
Hut.
You know, I mean, it's... You remember the I mean, he ruined Sanchez. I mean, he just ruined him.
And like I said, the few flashes we saw from Austin last year with his game-breaking ability.
It's on special teams. He's got,
very.
You got to find a way to utilize that talent.
You've got to get this guy the ball five times a game.
You can't teach some of the things that this guy has. You've got to find a way, some way to utilize him.
Yeah, I think he's only had one target all preseason. They say he's discouraged. I guess he's had his Wonderlic score wasn't very high, and I guess Schottenheimer's playbook is like freaking Greek or something. He just can't pick it up. You know, I mean, look at the way the Vikings, who aren't an offensive juggernaut, have a similar guy in Patterson who was raw but had game breaking ability.
Yeah.
And the second half of the season, he was one of the best receivers in football because they just got the freaking ball in his hands and let him work. Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, so what if he can't run a route? Give it to him behind the line of scrimmage. Anyway, Schottenheimer's going to be the death of me. So,
52's the mic.
So, good breakdown of the division, guys. I think we're going to have some real divergence here in the picks.
Ooh.
Andy Flanagan, we're going to let you go first, buddy.
I was going to steel myself up to be really bold here, but you know, fuck it, I'll do it. I go with Seattle 11-5.
All right.
I'm going to say the Rams surprise at 10-6.
Wow.
And the 49ers scuffle a bit, end up at 9-7, and Cardinals at 5-11.
Come on, Andy.
Sorry, man.
I'm going to bring a Larry Fitzgerald jersey over to your house next time.
I'm telling you, man. Sorry.
All right.
It hurts me.
It's good to see you go against the grain, though, Andy. I like it. Cowboy Senior.
Okay. I'm going to say that Seattle and San Francisco tie for first place at 12-4. Arizona slips back to 8-8, and the Rams go 7-9 again.
Keith.
I'm very close with you, Raj, but I'm going Seattle 12-4, Frisco 11-5. Arizona, we're going to go 500, 8-8, and St. Louis 7-9. Very tough division right here.
Right.
I love this division. Oh, and by the way, let me just say this. If any of these other teams were in any other division besides the AFC East and or West, they'd win the division.
That's a bold statement that I think the Saints.
No, it's not.
Packers with the healthy Aaron Rodgers.
I don't care. They kicked the Packers' ass.
The Rams?
Well, wait a minute.
Come on.
Wait a minute. Let me fall back.
Guy's out to lunch.
Let me fall back on it. The Niners would kick their ass.
Oh, yeah. That's it. That's okay.
My fault.
I tell you what.
I'm sorry.
I don't agree with that.
The Rams would kick the Packers' ass if you could add Trent Richardson to their roster.
Oh! I want to fight you right now.
If the Rams Richardson.
It's over.
It could be Super Bowl.
It's over.
I mean, really.
He might be as good as Richardson, but that's all right.
Wow.
High praise.
Strong words of praise for Zach Stacy.
If you notice that Trent Richardson, given it, we have a little
I'm
running.
I'm going to take this shit all year long.
We have a running thing going on here. Will Trent Richardson average 3 yards a carry? is the big question. Through the preseason, he's under it. For his Colts
preseason,
career,
don't matter.
Well, in the 15 games he played for the Colts last year, he was under it as well. During the regular season. We love you, Trent. We'd love to have you on the show, Trent, to defend yourself.
T-Rich, come on, talk to me, baby.
Keith, who's your biggest supporter, said you were stupid. So I'm going
to
make my picks here, and I expect... I make my picks with that thought in mind, that the one constant in the NFL is that there's always change, and that if you would have told me before last season that the Falcons would have been 4-12 and the Redskins would have been 3-13, they would have laughed right in my face, right? But Houston would be 2-14. So keep that in mind. I think this division's coming back to the pack this year. I do. And I'm going to pick the Cardinals to win the division at 11-5.
Wow.
11-5. Seattle slide into a wild card at 10-6. San Francisco 7-9.
Nice.
St. Louis 4-12. Mark it down. You guys hope. Hopefully, Andy, you're backing up the recording on this, right? So when this happens,
I hope you're recording.
I'll save this one in a special folder. Yeah.
Pick look real stupid.
Yeah, that pick already looks stupid. But anything else to add on the West, guys, or just maybe what you've seen so far?
Sure, I just want to tack on to what I said. I had Seattle and San Francisco tying for the division, but this year I have San Francisco overtaking them in the playoffs. I'm banking on them, one, obviously getting Bowman back at midseason and being healthy, and two, Colin Kaepernick graduating. He's got all the tools, all the ability. He stays injury-free this year, and he grows up a little bit and becomes the guy, I'm not going to say one of the top five quarterbacks in football, but right at that next level. It certainly has the potential, and I'm saying it happens this year.
Right. Just don't let him around any passed-out women during the regular season, and everything will be all right. See, Cowboy Senior, he likes his high-character guys, unless he doesn't. You know what I mean?
Talking strictly about his football ability.
And that's all we ever talk about here on the Sports Lounge.
That's right.
In Marquise. But, yeah. You know, Cowboy Senior, I mean, we're really not agreeing here. So,
fight!
We were all over the place on this.
But I want to keep, you know, I'd like to, you know, not a wager, but a friendly.
Fight!
Friendly something. I'm going to take the Cardinals to have a better record just overall than the 49ers.
Yeah, you picked it that way.
Loser's going to cook the other guy a hamburger at the end of the year. What do you
hamburger,
think?
My ass stink.
We don't bet, so we got a hamburger steak at the end of the year. Do you, yeah, Cowboy
you're
Senior?
You're on.
All right. Steak. Excellent. A steak would be good, too. But
I'm
all right, guys.
Eat this shit.
Steak. So, customarily on the Sports Lounge, we cover other sports besides football. But given that it's football time, that's all we're covering tonight is NFL. I think we had some good conversations there. I like that we're all over the place because that's really what the NFL is now. Is
true.
You don't know what the hell's going to happen, and you can never laugh at another guy's picks unless it involves Trent Richardson having a good season. That's a constant. Listen, is that the guy's just a bad.
What I say, he's going to have 800 yards and 6 touchdowns, right?
No, 1,200
and 10 touchdowns.
It's recorded.
Did I say that?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Shit. I hope you
and Cowboy counted with you won't get 1,200 in the next two seasons.
not to beat a dead horse.
Come on, Trent!
But I think there's a real good chance he's not in the NFL next year, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, man. 3-3, I got your back, son. If you listen to this, I want tickets. I want tickets, Trent.
But that's the thing about the NFL these days, is you really never know, and you know, we could be sitting here at the end of the season talking about the 14-2 St. Louis Rams. You just never know. I mean,
well,
that's
you probably
not. And 10-6. You should be on that train. But
fair enough.
It's just, you never know. And I think when you have four solid NFL minds, and we all know football, and we all come up with different things. So that's the beauty of the show, and that's what we're here to do. We're embracing debate. So. Until next week, it's been fantastic. Cowboy Senior, Keith, Andy, thanks so much for joining me in the lounge. I'm gonna head to the back because I need to relax a little bit after battling it out with Cowboy Senior this week. But until next week, we're gonna probably be the season's coming up, so we're gonna do the rest of the NFC next week. So buckle up for that. That's gonna be three divisions in one night here on the Sports Lounge. Your place to be at theplacetobenation.com. So everybody have a good one and tune in next week. Mary, are you ready to lick me, sexy? Suck me, sexy. Well, make it and walk me, sexy. Freak of the week, are you in the mood to fly to the stars with Jack and Bo? When I say love me, you say sexy. Compatible, clocking that ass from across the room. Your body says something, your mind.
minutes, baby. That's what's been happening. Yeah. Too late now. It's on.
Take off your shoes and stop me sexy.